Open up to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a fair amount of scripture here to get started tonight. Still teaching on the power of the Spirit. I don't know about you, I really had a good time at this morning's service. I really enjoyed that one. I enjoyed this one too. I haven't even done it yet. I've already enjoyed it. Because I enjoyed writing it. All right. Acts chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 11. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And he starts listing off these nations. There's Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya round about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Now proselytes, that's from people from other nations. That could be a multitude, more languages. Then he says, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues or our language the wonderful works of God. Now, I counted them up here, and there are a minimum of 15 different languages mentioned here. 15 different. And all of the people who were speaking in tongues were Galileans. So they're all of one tongue. They only speak one language. Yet they are supernaturally speaking in languages that they had never learned. Now, let's do a little review from Pastor Dave. You know, Pastor Dave methodically taught us that there are four diversities of tongues. I'm going to quickly review them again. I know this is, I'm preaching to the choir, but for some, this is new information. And you can find these out by listening. There's a really good website that I recommend that has a lot of teaching on this subject. It's www.daveroberson.org. And there's lots and lots of information about tongues. But to summarize on this subject, there are four super, they're all supernatural. There's four different diversities, manifestations of tongues. One, the one we are most familiar with here, is the tongues for personal edification. We call it the revelation gift. The second diversity is the tongue given in a public assembly, and the purpose for that tongue is to speak forth the mind of Christ, and it is designed or intended to be interpreted. Sometimes it's interpreted by the same person who gave the tongue. Sometimes one person will give the tongue, and another person will give the interpretation. But that's the second kind of diversity. Number three, from Romans chapter 8, tongues that extend themselves to the deep intercessory groanings of the Spirit. Here recently at one of the intercessory meetings on Saturday morning, I secretly recorded a little bit of somebody who went into intercession. And it's real groanings. I mean, it's real. That's not something the Lord uses me in often. In fact, my whole life, maybe I could count on one hand the number of times that that has happened with me. He uses me in different ways, but there's some people that he uses a lot like that. Now, this one here, this is the fourth diversity. I didn't list them in any particular order, but it's obvious that the one here is this fourth diversity, and Dave would say it like this: these are tongues that manifest as a sign to the unbeliever. It's where you preach, teach, or testify in a language that you had no previous knowledge of. So here we've got a perfect example. We've got 120 Galileans. These are all Galileans. In fact, the Galilean dialect apparently had twang to it, or like Texas, you know, something. Because when Peter said, "I don't know the man." Remember when he says he was denying the Lord three times? But his language gave him away. He said, "No, you're a Galilean. We can tell by the way you talk, that twang you got there. You got that Galilean twang." So anyway, these are all Galileans. They only speak one language. They don't know Arabian language and Egyptian and all these other languages. And whether all 120 of them were speaking those other languages, we don't know. But we do know that at least 15 of them were, because I think all of them were, to be honest, but different ones were speaking different languages. So this is the fourth diversity. Now think about this. Let's meditate. Again, let's do like my grandson Cole when he's about 4 or 5. He said, "Papa, can you pretend?" Well, let's pretend we were there. Put yourself in that group now. There's a big festival going on. We say when the day of Pentecost. Well, there's a feast of Pentecost, and it's a big festival, and that's why so many people were in town. They had come to be at this festival, and this is going on at the same time that the Holy Spirit's being poured out on this 120. They know that this feast is going on. They've been up there praying for a minimum of roughly 10 days. Jesus appeared for 40 days. The day of Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. So they've been roughly praying in that upper room for 10 days. They don't know how long they're going to be there, but they've been praying and seeking God for 10 days. Now, the town is packed with people. Let's just put ourselves up there for a minute. You see all these people come to town, and you're a believer in Jesus, and you know none of these people really know him. They're coming to celebrate a feast under the old covenant, okay? And you might have this thought: "Oh, I'd like to speak to some of these people and tell them about Jesus and everything that we know. I'd love to talk to them, but I don't know the language." You see, that's normal human reasoning. We let normal human reasoning all the time talk us out of doing what God wants to do. "I can't do it because," and pick your flavor. "I don't have enough money. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough education. I don't speak their language." But see, he's bringing us over into a thought realm where we think like him. How many knows he knows all languages? He knows every language, see? So we're thinking, "Well, I'd like to talk to them, but I don't know their language." But suddenly it says, suddenly the Holy Ghost comes on you, and God is saying, "Go ahead and speak to them, because I know their language. And I'll speak to each one of them in their own language using your vocal cords." Now we read that and we go, "Oh man, that's really cool." Uh-huh. Wait till he tells you to do it. He sends you to Brazil. We'll just pick Brazil. He'll send you to Brazil, and they speak Portuguese there. And you say, "I barely speak Oklahoman." And you want me to go to speak Portuguese? Now, see, anyone that's prophesied, it isn't, if you've actually done it, listen, prophecy is just scary as all get out. Because when it's really prophecy, you don't get to hear it first, judge it first, weigh it first, analyze it first, and then speak it. No, when it's really him and he is speaking to people through you, you get to hear it when they get to hear it. And it is really scary. You don't know the next word that's coming. But that's in your own language. It's just a small adjustment. You don't know the next word that's coming in their language. Think about that. Think about that. Now you have to, I'll get to it in a minute. This is not something you can do on purpose. Okay? This is a gift of the Spirit. He was so transparent. "Dave, how do you know that?" remember? "Well, I've tried it. I was in another country and I I walk up to this, I think it was German, I walked up to this German fellow, and I, ha-da-da, 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 ha-da-da. And the guy goes, what? Okay, sorry, I was just clearing my throat. He was testing it out to see if you could do it at will, but you can't. Okay. But see, he's trying to bring us to a different understanding where we're going to allow him to do things through us that don't make sense to us. But that's okay. And if he says go preach to a Japanese congregation and you don't know Japanese, but if he's the one saying go, how many of you knows he knows Japanese? See? But that preach is good, but it's scary as all get out when it's you. Isn't that right? But see, if you've ever been used in prophecy, it's really just one step more. Because I've done that. I know what that feels like. And others in the room do too. You know that you're dependent on every word. You don't know the next word that's coming. Well, it's just one minor adjustment for the next word to be German or French or whatever. Okay. So you say, well, okay, so the Lord might say to you, go ahead and speak to them. I know their language. I'll speak to each one of them in their own language, and I'm going to use your vocal cords to do it. You do know that on planet Earth, he really has no vocal cords but yours. We are the body of Christ, and that includes the vocal cords. Okay. See, okay, I've received that thought. Okay, Lord. But Lord, I don't know what to say to him. I'm uneducated. And I don't speak very well. But God would say back to you, you just yield to my spirit. Don't plan ahead of time what you're going to say. My spirit will give you what to say as you yield your voice to him. Now just go ahead and look at this at Mark 13. We'll just see a little bit of a different example. This is when they were going to deliver him up to be tried in front of the legal system. But it'd be the same thing if he sent you to preach somewhere where you don't know the language. Jesus taught us that we can always rely on the Holy Spirit to know what to say. We can always rely on him. So Mark 13, look at verses 10 and 11. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. Now notice, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Oh, my, my, my. Now it's important, I wrote it here. It's important that I mention that this tongue, as a sign to the unbeliever, it is not a gift that can be worked by you anytime you want to. And Dave gave us those examples. This is as the Spirit wills. The only one of the four diversities of tongues that we can operate at our own will is the tongue for personal edification. Which that's not the lesson tonight, but I'm preaching to the choir here anyway about that. All of the other three manifestations flow through you for the benefit of others. And they flow severally as he wills. But he has done with the edification gift, the tongue for edification, what he has done with no other. I like how Dave would tell us, he has made you the steward of your own edification. It's really up to you how much time you choose to spend allowing the Holy Spirit to pray those mysteries through you. Now back to the subject at hand. We're talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We're talking about walking in power. How great is it that our God has given us this Holy Spirit who can manifest supernatural wisdom? And I mean to the point of if you yield to him, you can speak in a language that you have never learned. This was their first experience. I'm trying to get across what... This was their very first experience with being filled with the Holy Ghost. And you were talking about power, real power. See, he's trying to get us where we're not doing things in our strength, not doing things in our ability, but doing things in his ability. I'm trying to think now, what if I'd have been there?
And when this Holy Spirit comes on me, all of a sudden I have a power I've never known before. I can speak in a language I've never learned. And I know it's Him because I don't know the language. But it's Him, and I'm going, what kind of impact would that have on your brain? Man, I'll never lack for knowledge again. He who knows everything is in me. He knows every language on earth, and he can even speak through me as I yield to Him. He can speak in any language through me. And I don't have to learn it first. Now, I'm not against learning languages, but I'm just saying we got to get past our natural ability and get over into His ability. And that's what this, it's not so much trying to exhort us to think about speaking, you know, in this fourth diversity, but this is an example of His power instead of your power. He's always telling us, Hans is sitting back here, we've had coffee and sloshed and had hamburgers and pounded the table and talked about God. And how many times, you know, you just say, well, God's told me to do this, but there's no money. Money is, you know how Dave would tell us? There's two ways you can bow down to money. One is chasing after the stuff your whole life. And the other is after God tells you to do something, you turn to money and go, can I do that? And money normally will tell you what, Hans? No. It'll tell you, no, you can't do that. But the same God that knows every language, that same God knows where all the money is. That same God knows how to get it to you too. Amen? We've got to get out of our ability, get out of our possibility and over into His ability, get over into His thinking. We walk up to somebody that, you know, and if you, as God is developing His compassion in you, you see somebody that needs a wheelchair, and maybe because we're still thinking natural, but at least we're on the journey, we're starting, and we're thinking, man, I wish I could afford a wheelchair for them. You know, and if you stay there, God will help you get a wheelchair for them. But if we could really go farther than that, I think God has a better plan for them than a wheelchair. See, we just don't think like that yet. That's the lesson. That's where He's trying to get us, is think like He thinks. Why get them a wheelchair when they can be healed where they don't need a wheelchair? See, I know I'm preaching theory right now, but it's also the gospel. This is what He says. He says, think like I think. Quit limiting His ability to your ability. He's trying to blossom our thinking. I'm trying to put myself in that upper room. I'm telling you, my coffee goes cold. I don't understand people that can't get into the Word. I'm telling you, I just don't understand it. I pour that nice, hot, fresh pipe place Keurig coffee, man. Pour it. It's hot steam coming off of it. I take one sip. Get in the Word. Take the next sip. It's stone cold. I mean, I'm gone. I've been there. I've been in this movie. I'm an actor in the movie. So let's go there again. Let's go in that room. I've been waiting. What have you been doing? Been praying for 10 days. Well, why have you been praying for 10 days? Jesus told us to. He said, we're not supposed to go preach. We're not supposed to go do nothing. Not until we've been endued with power from on high. He told us to stay and pray, and we're going to stay and pray. Now, they're not praying in other tongues, are they? Can't yet. So they're praying, whatever they're praying in English. And I'm sure it had to do with the promise of the Father, because that's what Jesus told them. Wait for the promise of the Father, which was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the, what Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So it goes all the way back to Joel, where God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So they're praying something like, Father, we're here. We're thanking you for your promise. Lord, we're gathered here just like Jesus told us. So they're praying something in Galilean, whatever language that is, whatever they were speaking. They're praying, and all of a sudden, here's a sound. I believe it sounded like a tornado, a rushing mighty wind. We're here in Oklahoma. You probably know what a tornado sounds like. Most people describe it like a freight train coming through. I mean, it's a sound. And it said it filled the house. I think the hair on the back of your neck. You've been praying there for 10 days. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's just praying. And all of a sudden, there's a freight train about to come through the house. Sounds like. I believe the hair would stand up on the back of your neck. And then from this morning's message, suddenly there appears. The Holy Spirit allowed this to be seen. Where it appeared, these divided, separate, tongues, flames of fire, and it would envelop each and every person. And you're watching this, and you're seeing it. It says the real word there says with wide-eyed amazement, I'll bet. But these are Jewish people, and what they're seeing is flesh people on fire. And it would occur to them, I'm sure, I've seen this my whole life. Every time we bring an offering, every time we sacrifice a lamb, part of that lamb is offered in the fire. Isn't that right? And John the Baptist had said, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So they're hearing this sound as of a rushing mighty wind. All of a sudden, they're seeing every person that's enveloped in like a tornado, a flame of fire. And then when I'm just trying to put myself in the movie. Then they start to speak. Maybe they're going to say something to the one next to them. I'm going to pick a language. And it comes out French. And you're going, what? What was that? And you start trying to speak again, and it's French. It's a language that they had never learned. Now put yourself there. This God, this Holy Ghost, this Father Spirit who has filled me, He wants to speak through me, and His ability to do it is way beyond my ability to do it. He can speak in a language I've never learned. He can speak with wisdom, it says, that cannot be gainsaid or spoken against. All I got to do is let Him do what He wants to do. Man, right there, that's the access to power. Letting Him do what He wants to do, and us quit telling Him it's impossible. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy. I'm having a real good time myself, okay? Hallelujah. He is greater than our own wisdom. Let me read this paragraph. How great is our God to give us the Holy Spirit, in this case, who manifested supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge, speaking in a language that they've never known. And I mean, people that do know it understood it. We hear them speaking of the wonders and wondrous works of God, you know. His supernatural ability by this Holy Spirit exceeding our knowledge, exceeding all of our limitations that we put on ourselves. I can't do it because of this. I don't know the language. I'm not a good speaker. And he goes, would you just let me speak? I know the language. And I know the wisdom. Trust me. Think of it. If you were there that day, what kind of conclusions would you be coming to? Boy, his knowledge sure exceeds mine. His ability sure exceeds mine. I would never have been able to talk with them, but it was easy. I didn't have to go study anything. I just had to yield to Him. And, oh, your first inkling. Oh, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Wouldn't that be a thought that you'd have? The Holy Spirit that's in me? I just got filled. You read there, I just got filled. But it's Him in me. He's doing this. Be your first step into it. Oh, I love it. So this supernatural event was the drawing card. It was the dinner bell that drew the attention of the multitude to hear Peter's sermon. They weren't impressed that they were up there praying for 10 days. Big whoop, another prayer meeting. But all of a sudden, when something supernatural is going on, all of a sudden they're interested. What was the end result? Remember, what the end result, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the end result is not to speak in tongues. The end result is a testify of Him to bring a harvest, the end time harvest. So what was the end result? 3,000 souls were saved that very first day. They were baptized with water. It says they were saved and baptized if you read it carefully. And I'm going to add one more. I believe 3,000 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost because Peter said to them, the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. And he was talking about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that had been spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was spoken. Hallelujah. 3,000 added. One sermon. Glory to God. How long would it take to fill this building up at that rate? Well, what if I let God speak through me instead of me trying to do it? What if I let God just take over my vocal cords? See, that's our next step. You've already figured it out, I'm sure. The next step is you walking in the gifts yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to start manifesting the gifts through you. I'm going to reread a prophecy in a minute where I believe he mentions that. Now, as far as I know, Gary Carpenter himself, myself, in all these years, I have never yet spoken fluently in a language that I have never learned. But I have experienced this supernatural wisdom that can only be manifested by obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have heard this. If you have, you're going to hear it again. I went to Korea, South Korea, in a city near Bundang, near Seoul, for 6 straight years. And part of that time, they would have a conference. Kind of like we have our October conference, they would have a big conference, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. It was packed. This particular year, see, Jinho, Pastor Jinho Kim, is the one that translated Pastor Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, into Korean. So that book was available, and at this particular year that I went, he had gotten the rights and had just translated one of Kenneth Hagin's books into Korean also, and it just was available. And what he asked me to do that year, I can't remember the title now, but it doesn't matter. He was wanting me to teach out of one book, Kenneth Hagin's book, and then teach out of Dave Roberson's book to show that there were no arguments between them, that they dovetailed, that they agreed. So I did my homework. I had it studied out. I knew, you know, Kenneth Hagin, his emphasis, what God called him to emphasize, was faith. Okay? What God called Pastor Dave to emphasize, now he taught on everything, but what to emphasize was praying in other tongues and what that really does. And I'm telling you, there was absolutely no inconsistencies at all. They just fit together like a hand in a glove, just perfect. Every piece was fine. So I knew what my assignment was, and I'm preaching, if I remember right, 5 nights. I believe it was 5 consecutive nights in this big auditorium. Probably, it's bigger than this. I'm going to say 800 people maybe there, and it was packed. So everything's going along fine, except one night near the end of it. Oh, that's right. There were morning and evening services. That's right, because this was in the morning. So that morning, I was getting ready to do the service, and Pastor Jinho is speaking in Korean. I know he's introducing me. I'm about ready to walk up on the platform. And I've already got, man, my mind, you know how I am. I get so focused on the message I want to preach, I can't even remember your name, you know. And so I've got it, man, I've got it. I'm locked in. Gary's zoned in. I know what I'm going to preach on. I've been doing my homework, Hagin book, Roberson book. I've got it. Here's what I'm going to do. And the Holy Ghost says, preach on Paul's thorn tonight or today instead. Gary, what did you do? I ignored that. I totally ignored that. No, that's not what Jinho asked me to do. I know what he asked me to do. And I told him I was going to do it. Yeah, well, man swears to his own hurt and changes mind. Started throwing it. You know, don't ever throw scripture back at God when you're trying to disobey him. You know. As I got Jinho still introducing me, and I heard it again. I heard it 3 times. Preach on Paul's thorn instead. So the third time, I'm fixing to walk up on the platform, and I hear this in about this tone. Are you going to obey me or not? Switching gears. So I taught on Paul's thorn. Just totally ignored what I was going to do. Just, okay, that goes out the window. And most people, the way I grew up, Paul's thorn, the traditional way is God put all that sickness on him and gave all that distress and the shipwrecks and all of that. And God did it to keep him humble so that he wouldn't be exalted in pride. At least that's what I had always heard until Pastor Dave broke it. Now we understand what Paul's thorn really is. There was a messenger of Satan assigned directly to Paul to stop him if he was stoppable. Everywhere Paul went, revival broke out and churches were planted. And so all hell was set against Paul. He said a messenger, an angelos of Satan was assigned to him. Everywhere the man went, he was beaten and flogged and whipped and shipwrecked. And all of these things that he mentions in that letter came against him. And so I taught it the correct way, is what I'm saying. That's not tonight's message, but I taught it the correct way. Well, we had a prayer line, and at the end of the service, everybody's going out. But I noticed, now these numbers, it's been quite a few years now, roughly a dozen, I want to say rough, there were, I can't remember now, it was 11 or 10 or 12, roughly a dozen men, everybody else is leaving, but roughly a dozen men in this certain section are just sitting there and are kind of talking to each other. And they kind of had a look on their face that made me think, uh-oh, I might be in trouble. I might have really hit a nerve or something. And they don't speak English, so they didn't come talk to me, but they stayed after everybody else left, and they wanted to talk to Pastor Jinho. Well, Jinho comes over to me after he talked with him. He said, Gary, these are Baptist ministers who all their lives have taught against the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Several of them have traveled 2 days by bus to get here. In this service, they're talking amongst themselves because they have all taught Paul's thorn the old traditional way. But you convince them from the scripture that what they've always believed is wrong. So what they're saying now, they're saying, if we could have been that wrong about Paul's thorn, perhaps we're also wrong about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. They want to know if you would stay and talk with them. Oh yeah, I'll stay. But I can't remember now, another hour and a half with them. Before it was over, before that service was over, all but one of them were speaking in other tongues. And I got a report later that the holdout, he started speaking in tongues on the bus on the way back home. Now, God's wisdom, he knew those guys were there. That was the first service they were in. It wouldn't have done for me to preach that message the day before. They were there. And it's important that you hear from him and obey him right now. Because the timing, he had them there for this reason. Thank God I didn't disobey him and override him with my natural thinking. Oh no, I've already done, you know. No, thank God I obeyed the Holy Ghost. And just by obeying him, now we've got, I would just wonder how it changed their communities. These guys are all pastors. These guys are leaders in churches. For them to go back now, it's not just them getting filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what's going to happen now. They're going to get all their people filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they're going to get their families filled with the Holy Ghost. God only knows what he did because of obedience to his wisdom, obedience to his voice. And I have to say, I'm not taking any credit. I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson lovingly but relentlessly pray in tongues, hone yourself, learn to hear his voice. And when you hear him, obey him at all costs. Don't try and figure it out. Just obey him and watch what God will do. I'm sure it's the same way if you're called to teach, if you're called to minister in Africa, if you're called to be a gospel entrepreneur and put millions into the gospel. It's all going to come down on relying on his wisdom, his ability, and not ours. Amen? I'm pretty sure he can finance his stuff. Pretty sure he has a better plan for cripples than wheelchairs. Amen. All right. The wisdom of God is amazing. We must always trust the Holy Spirit and yield to his wisdom. I'm thinking again about going back to this event in Acts. How illogical is it? Just begin to speak. Just speak. And you start speaking, logic would go, I can't talk to these people. I don't know their language. Just speak. And when you speak, it's a language you've never learned. Oh my God. What a first lesson. What a first lesson of his ability to work through your little old, can I say pea brain? Your education or lack thereof. Does it matter to him? He can do it. We just have to learn to hear him and obey him. That's what it comes down to. So James chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. It's such a familiar passage. when it comes to the Holy Spirit's wisdom, when we don't know what to do, and this goes right along with Romans 8, where it says, when we know not what to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you according to the will of God. But James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says it this way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, of course I've been over there praying every day that I'm there at that conference and every conference. Even here, Lord, I want your mind. I want your wisdom. I want to do what you want to do. And if I don't hear anything, then of course I'm going to deliver whatever message I've been studying. But boy, if you've been praying that, then he gives you his wisdom. And he says, preach on Paul's thorn. There's your opportunity to waver. Because it's not what you expected. Or if he says, go speak to that person in German. Pardon me? You said what to who? Yeah, go speak to that person. I don't know German. Did I ask if you knew German? Go speak. My goodness. He's not so much teaching on that gift. It's not promoting that gift. It's promoting his possibilities. See, thinking like him. Letting him do what he wants. Without us putting him under our restraints. What we think is impossibles, he laughs at. Not impossible at all. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you a prophecy again. This came November 17th through Pastor Bronk down in Florida. And this is the one we've already had it. I think it's already at the website, at both websites. It's called Know Your Significance. And the Lord says, I have birthed you for a sole purpose, and yet you hardly know your significance. Do not let the flesh or the mundane blind you. I know me, saith self unto you. I know me, I am just me. Mm-hmm. But I say unto you that you're my son, my daughter, my high priest. That is to bring forth the high praises and the intercession in the earth that will bring forth the great and last day harvest of my kingdom, says the Spirit of grace. For you've not expected more of yourself as you should, but expect far more of yourself in going forward. Put a higher mark to your life and expect yourself to be in a place with me that can turn the city and that can turn the nation, saith the Spirit of grace. When you think in smaller terms of yourself, you minimize my ability to flow through you in authority. And expectation of things in faith that will really turn a city upside down. When you relate to yourself as you would relate to a friend with many faults, and I'll be honest with you, okay, this is Gary talking now, that's been a major, major failing of mine. I know who I am, come on. I know Gary. I'm very familiar with Gary's faults. Very familiar with Gary's failings. Yeah, that old Gary, he's a friend of mine. He's a guy loaded with faults, but he and I are buds. He says, when you relate to yourself as you would relate to a friend with many faults, and do not see the higher part of you, which is called up into higher places to make intercession for the city, when you live out of the familiar, then you demoralize and bring low the place of authority that is in you, that I have placed to bring forth the revival, saith the Spirit of grace. There is a pride that can exist out of the flesh, and too many guard themselves at the expense of the Spirit, saying, well, I will not pride myself over there. But yet in the same way, you'll not live out of that place of authority by familiarizing yourself with the flesh. But you must. You must come up higher. Expect more and do more and be more for me, for that place of authority.
says the Spirit of grace.
How many of you think we are living in the generation where Joel's prophecy is coming to pass? This is that. Hello, Joel's army. It's God's anointing, if you'll allow me, is moving from the pulpit to the pew. You are going to walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. Or at least you're going to be available to walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. But in order for that to happen, we have to quit. Madeline, come here. Come here. I love this lady because she and I are both a little rough cut. And I come from construction and truck driving, and she can be a little rough, can't you?
Yep.
We both see ourselves as a little like the same. But see, I've got to esteem her. She has to esteem herself. If he wants to send you to Germany and have you stand right in the main square, wherever it is, and begin speaking in perfect German, laying your hands on the sick and seeing them get healed, you have to be able, you can't go, I'm just Madeline. I'm just little old me. I think I cussed yesterday. Or today. See, that's what he's trying to get us away from. It's not about us and our ability. Now, don't get me wrong. He is purging us, cleansing us. Listen, if she's still here, she's tough as nails, just like you. We are determined. We're going to let him have his way. Yes, there's a purging. But we're never to limit ourselves and look down on ourselves. I am not just plain old Gary. This is not just little old Madeline. We are sons. I'm a son. She's a daughter of the Most High God. God himself dwells on the inside of us, and there is nothing he cannot do. Amen.
Amen? Amen.
Thank you. Good preaching. Is she a good preacher or what? Hallelujah. Is that good stuff? Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you again. I'm telling you, these seasons of prayer are important. What he's doing right now, if you can, Wednesday night services, as far as I know, is going to be prayer. Friday, the church is open. Of course, you can pray at home. We're not talking, but these are just opportunities where you can come, because he is calling for a corporate prayer if it's possible. Okay? If it's possible, come. And if you live in another country, you can't come here. Remember, Philip was found at Azotus, you know. You might just be praying and go, I'm in the prayer center. I'm from Australia. How did I get here? Well, we'll leave that kind of thing up to him. Okay? But pray. That's the main thing. Pray in this season of purging. And listen to this morning's message. You have your own individual flame of fire. The Holy Spirit, he has designed a school of fire. Is that okay? Just for you. That will purge you. Okay. Can't go there right now. I'm just excited. Can you tell? I'm excited. I feel younger than I did 10 years ago. Hallelujah.